Ready? According to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you brought a Bible with you tonight, you can turn to Acts chapter 14. You may not have brought a Bible with you tonight, just under the assumption that we were having a missionary report rather than a Bible class. Acts chapter 14 gives us New Testament authority for such activity as this evening, demonstrating the edifying nature and even the instructive nature of missionary reports. At the beginning of Acts 13, we find the setting apart of Saul and Barnabas, and or I should actually phrase it in the order of Barnabas and Saul, which was the order they were commissioned, and the commencement of the first missionary journey. When they completed that journey, they returned back to Antioch, and I just want to read these verses here. Acts chapter 14, verse 26 and 20, or 26 through 28. From there they sailed to Antioch, from which they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had accomplished. When they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all things that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they spent a long time with the disciples. So here is our foundation for missionary reports as such, as we are going to present here this evening. All right, before we begin, though, let's take time for silent prayer and ask the Father to sanctify our time together. Shall we pray? Almighty Father, we humble ourselves before your throne of grace here this evening, and we just want to thank you, Father, for your abundant grace that you pour out upon us, grace upon grace, beyond anything that we could ask or think, infinitely beyond what we could ask or think. And Father, you blessed us with an abundant prayer meeting. We want to rejoice and celebrate over that. And Father, for our time this evening now, we're going to commit into your hands that this report might be edifying, Father, not entertaining, but edifying, instructive, and a blessing, that we might be reminded that we are not alone in this world, that we are not, that we as a local church not develop the Elijah syndrome of thinking that that we got the wagon circled and it's us against the world. Father, to recognize that you are sovereign and you have a great work, and that Jesus Christ is the head of the church in the things that he does in many countries around the world. So we pray that this evening's message would be an encouragement, and pray that we might have a greater understanding for what goes on, a greater appreciation for the missionaries that we support. And we just do truly want to thank you for the dedication of Jim and Phyllis Myers, and Father, for their work of service on behalf of Jesus Christ. And we just thank you in his most precious and holy name. Amen. All right. Got a slideshow prepared and then some thoughts to share with you this evening with respect to this recently completed missions trip to Kiev, Ukraine, or as the locals pronounce it, Kiev. It's a one-syllable, long E-sounding word, Kiev. An invitation that was extended the year before last year, and again this year. And by God's grace, an invitation I was able to accept finally this year, and very pleased to have done so. An invitation, by the way, that's already been repeated for next year. I don't know. We'll pray over the frequency of such things and see how often the Lord will direct for me to depart and travel to different places and so forth. I don't know if I could do such a thing on a once-a-year basis, maybe every other year or so forth, every 2 or 3 years. In any event, that's in the Lord's hands. But an invitation to teach at Word of God Bible College, and you're going to see some pictures on this. This was a Bible college that Jim Myers started as a expression of Word of God Church, and we're going to go through the order of the events of these things getting started. But perhaps the greatest blessing for me was beyond simply having missionaries come here and do reports and give slideshows and newsletters and things. I always feel like there's still so much we don't know, a sense that we don't have, and actually going there and eyes on and seeing and taking part is such a blessing. And that's a blessing that not only is available for pastors, But as I think we've said a number of times, any believer who wants to go and perform a work of service is more than welcome. And these missionaries would be glad to have you over there, and would be glad to have you there on a productive basis. They have no interest in sponsoring some kind of missionary-sponsored tourist agency. They don't want you to come over there, and they're not going to host you so you can go sightseeing. You'll have some time to do some sightseeing, certainly, and they will be very gracious in that regard. But the expectation is that you're there to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, or you're there to teach, for instance, in the Bible college, as I was invited to do. They're going to put you to work where the Lord has gifted you, where you have a talent. Todd Kennedy is actually over there right now, even as we speak. We overlapped by 6 hours, I think, and he had the 2 weeks following my 2 weeks. And he came over there with one of his deacons. And the man's not a Bible teacher, doesn't have a gift for Bible teaching, doesn't claim to have a gift for Bible teaching. But he's a carpenter. He does construction. He's done house remodels and things over the years. And since Jim and Phyllis were just blessed with the purchase of a home in out in the countryside outside of Kiev, this man is going to dedicate 2 weeks of his time and talent and labor to work on that new home. And so there's lots of things that can be done in support of the missionaries that are there. We know Jim and Phyllis Myers. They've been here before. Their particular mission field is Kiev, Ukraine. Prior to being in Kiev, they were in Mogilev in the city of Belarus. And some of my conversation tonight will address that as well, because they still bear fruit in Mogilev. They still have contacts in Mogilev. They still felt a burden for those souls that they had led to Christ and those believers that they had begun to teach in the local church they founded in Mogilev. And so they now presently support a student that had graduated from their Bible college here in Kyiv, sent him back to Mogilev, and he is now shepherding, pastoring those believers that are back there in Belarus. And they support him as a missionary, something you're going to hear multiple times this evening. Something that I was amazed at when I went to the Philippines last year, and when we think about supporting Ralph LaRosa in the Philippines, and we get this idea that we as a church or as individuals, we're supporting a missionary. Say, wrong answer. Because these men are themselves supporting missionaries. See, in the case of the Philippines, 15 or 20 pastors that are supported, encouraged financially and otherwise by the LaRosas. In the Ukraine, 8 different missionaries that are sponsored by Jim and Phyllis Myers. And so we support a missionary, and yet I think we don't truly understand the full impact of that as that gets spread out. Missionaries to Ukraine since 1996. VMI first took them to Mogilev, I believe, in 92 or 93, and then in Ukraine since 96. The home Bible studies that they started turned into a local church in 1999, and so Word of God Church came into existence in 1999. And it was my blessing to speak in that church on a Sunday a week ago now, and the Palm Sunday in the Orthodox tradition, given that this last Sunday was just 3 days ago, was Easter Sunday in the Orthodox tradition. Then, most recently, the Word of God Bible College established 4 years ago in 2001, an academic venue in which men can be trained, equipped, placed into service. And it was really for the purpose of speaking in that Bible college was the primary reason for going over, but each of these other areas became areas of ministry as well, and that should become clear also. I'm going to have a lot to say this evening, perhaps, on the functions of this Bible college. But I will have more to say in upcoming meetings with deacons, and upcoming meetings with our ministry planning committee and other things, because I am really impressed with some of the philosophy and principles behind this particular Bible college. And I've tried to learn, obviously, from the way Ralph Braun trained me. I've tried to glean from the manner in which Glenn Carnegie operated the Tulsa Seminary of Biblical Languages for all those years. I've tried to learn from how Jim Bertel runs his training ministry there in Little Rock. Ron Adema in Alabama. I've tried to learn from all the training ministries I've ever been exposed to. And this one, likewise, has left a huge impression. And so in the years ahead, if the Lord blesses Austin Bible Church with the opportunity and means to create a Bible college, an actual campus teacher-led, teacher-taught expression of Grace Notes, so to speak, where Grace Notes courses and other courses can be taught in a classroom environment rather than in the email, internet environment. There's principles from this Ukrainian ministry I think we would want to replicate. And so some of those should become clear. I imagine my excitement for them will be rather obvious as we discuss the things involved. But these are all the ways in which Jim and Phyllis keep themselves busy, plus more that you'll see here in a moment. One of the greatest blessings that we can provide by going over there is giving them a break, giving them some time to away from the classroom, a time where they can rest, time where they can travel, for example. During my time there, Jim was able to travel to Lviv in western Ukraine, and that part of that was made possible by virtue of the fact that his class load was being covered in the Bible college. See, so he had freedom to go to Lviv and get some things set up there in terms of a Bible study that's going to become a local church there in Lviv. And we'll look at that here as well. A little bit of geography with respect to the country of Ukraine. Formerly it was a part of the Soviet Union. It was one of the largest of the Soviet socialist republics, just west of Russia proper, just north of the Black Sea. And so it's almost on some of your Bible maps you have in the back of your Bibles. Generally speaking, the very northern tip of your Bible maps is going to be Turkey or Greece. See, and then you'll notice the Black Sea is right above Turkey, or just to the right of Greece, just the east of Greece. Well, on the other side, the far north side of that Black Sea is where Ukraine is situated. This very southern peninsula, I think I put my clicker on here, didn't I? This very southern peninsula down here being the Crimean region, but really this whole thing here, including Crimea, being a part of, or being the country of Ukraine. Belarus is to the north, very hostile to Christian missionaries. Part of the reason for leaving was the hostility there and the denying of visas and so forth. And yet relocating just south to Kyiv has left them within driving distance of Belarus and has allowed them to train Ukrainians to go into Belarus. And whereas Americans may not be welcome to go in there, the trained Ukrainians are able to get visas and go in there. And so that is, in fact, what has happened. Lviv is this city over here where they are about to get a church started. And there's actually, I've been talking about one student that's in Belarus. There have been two students that here in the last year or so have been ministering in Belarus, one of which is going to be brought back out of Belarus and sent to Lviv to become the pastor of the new church they're getting started there in Lviv. They've also got a man down here in Odessa. There's another man in Balto about halfway to Odessa. One of their men that they've trained has been doing some work in Kazakhstan. And then, of course, in our church bulletin on Sunday, we were praying for a man named Ulan, who studied in this Bible college and then returned to his native Kyrgyzstan and is now whereabouts unknown. He was told that if he continued to preach the gospel, that he would be killed, his family would be killed, and we haven't had word since. So we're still lifting up them in prayer. The silence is not encouraging, though. If he was able to send email, he's the kind of guy that regularly does communicate by means of email. So the 2 weeks now that we've not had any word is not positive in that regard. Anyway, this is a part of Eastern Europe, Far Eastern Europe, that we're probably not as familiar with. You see Poland there on the west. Germany is right on the other side of Poland. A lot of times our orientation to Europe is rather Western Europe, and that kind of ends with Germany. Well, no, there's something on the other side of Germany, and that's Poland. And then on the other side of Poland is Ukraine. I'll put some more, I'll bring this map back up again, probably at the end. Let me see what slide number this is. That's slide number 3. So I'll come back to that here at the end. First impressions. First impressions was this is not the Philippines. All right. First impressions was that these aren't islands. This isn't jungle. This isn't wilderness. This is an urban city of some 6 million inhabitants. A huge city. And it's a city of subways and buses and trams and all sorts of vehicular and foot traffic. And so growing up in a city, I felt right at home, you know, as far as that went. Skyscrapers, high rises. Nobody lives in a house in Kyiv. They live in apartments. The houses are in the suburbs, out in the countryside, like where Jim and Phyllis just lived. The city limits is apartments, and everybody goes vertical. And some of them are hideously ugly. They're starting to modernize, and as they get more of the economy intact, as more of free market capitalism takes hold, there's more prosperity to actually build more Western, more European style buildings. And so right now there's a very interesting blend of old versus new, sometimes buildings side by side. And the old ones, they call those Soviet ugly. That's the term for it. That the Soviet ugly is real obvious next to the new capitalistic, I guess, pretty, right? In any event, these were some first pictures I took of the apartments there where my host has his apartment, where I was hosted, a man named Jim Dumas, and I'll speak about him in a little bit. In the bottom left corner, that big glowing yellow building was their grocery store, the equivalent of a supermarket. And then the building on the bottom right corner was their post office, where I managed to go in there and successfully mail a series of postcards. The clerk didn't speak any English, and of course I was useless with any kind of Russian or Ukrainian. But she asked me, Sprechen Sie Deutsch? And so I dusted off my Army German from 10 years ago, and which, that's another story. But I was able to communicate in German well enough to learn that the price for mailing all those postcards was 24.50. 24 hryvnia and 50 kopecks, about $5 to mail all those postcards. So the first impression was that this was a very urban area, a very city area. And Jim kind of laughs sometimes because, you know, the stereotype for missionaries is that they're out there in the boonies, you know, out there in the jungle somewhere, and he's definitely not. Sunday morning, I arrived on a Saturday and slept not so well, but then got up Sunday morning and we went into church. This building is not their church, but it is where their church is located. I said, I'm going to tease everybody by showing these pictures of your church. They are presently renting space in a school. That's an elementary school, a very large elementary school. Four buildings above ground, I think at least one basement. And in any event, there is a combination gymnasium, auditorium, drama stage, kind of large room on the fourth floor of this school facility, and they rent this on Sundays. The rent is not like we're accustomed to, where you have something in writing, where you have a contract, and you know, if your lease is up, you're gonna get some kind of notice, different things. There is, you just pay what you can, and if they throw you out, they throw you out, and they may tell you about it ahead of time, or you may learn about it that day when you show up for church. And that's what happened to them here fairly recently. They had been evicted from another facility and were left scrambling trying to find something. They didn't know about it until the morning of Sunday morning. They showed up for church and the landlord was there and said, nope, you need to find somewhere else. And so this is where they are for the moment. They are trusting in the Lord to provide, either that this might continue because although it's not their facility, it is in a very convenient location. But if this doesn't last, then they're going to trust the Lord will take them where they need to be. Ultimately, in a building of their own would be the most ideal. They also have a separate room on another floor for their Wednesday night Bible studies, for their Wednesday night English classes, and I'll talk about those as well. Jim and Phyllis Myers are officially English teachers. They are there to teach English, and so they have English classes that they teach, and then they also offer English listening practice. At the end of the English class, you can stick around for English listening practice. And the English listening practice is the Wednesday evening Bible study for Word of God Church. So that's the process there. Sunday services. they seem to have an impression that I speak quickly. I don't know why. They got some idea that I talk too fast. I don't know. But the enforced method of saying a sentence and then waiting for your translator to interpret is really an interesting way to teach. But this lady here, her name is Margaret, a godly Christian woman. She's been an English speaker for many years, did some translation work back during the Soviet time, for example. But when communism ended, when freedom was introduced, this woman began to volunteer her services as a translator for missionaries and pastors that were coming into her country. And other translators were being paid. Missionaries were trying to find translators and pay these translators. She was volunteering because she wanted to learn the Bible. She wanted to learn Bible teaching. And so she has translated in churches, seminaries, for missionaries, evangelists, pastors, some of the teachers, like George Meisinger and Robbie Dean and others that have gone over. She's done a lot of translation work. And having translated since the very beginning of this school, think about the knowledge that she's gaining just by translating for all these teachers coming. She's attended every class, see, for years now. And very, very knowledgeable in her theology, very knowledgeable as on solid dispensational footing, and just a real blessing to spend time with. And Jim Myers introduced me, and then I gave the message this past Sunday a week before Easter. As I say, they're renting this facility. It's not the most convenient, but it's what they have at the moment. They're one of four different church groups that is renting this facility on Sunday, and so their slot is the 2 p.m. slot. It's a little awkward to go to church at 2 p.m. It seems different. I'm used to waking up on Sunday morning and, getting dressed and going to church and that. But just because we're used to Sunday morning doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with Sunday afternoon. As we talked about at prayer meeting, just because it's different doesn't mean it's wrong. But they would like to have a facility of their own where they can go back to a more standard morning service. And also just because it gives more time in between the morning service and the evening service, because they do have a prayer meeting and evening service as well. And with the afternoon service running from 2 to 3:30, it doesn't leave much time between then and the 6 o'clock prayer meeting for the evening service. So anyway, that's the circumstance there. They also have a Wednesday evening, as I mentioned, that follows the English lesson in the English listening practice, and we'll have pictures of that as well. They have mainly a Ukrainian church, but they do also advertise in the English American type newspapers. There's so many workers over there, contractors and so forth, and so they advertise, let it be known if there's any Americans that want to go to an English church service, that this is available, and it's actually a bilingual church service. It was also my introduction to the students, although they were so busy working like bees, I didn't get to really meet their names or get to meet them until the next day, the Monday morning when classes formally started. But the students were all at work. And one thing I noticed when I first walked in is the students are all at work, either setting up the laptop, setting up the projector, setting up the chairs. They have to get all the chairs out and line them up in this gymnasium kind of room, folding bulletins, greeting people at the door, practicing with a choir, getting the keyboard and the music ready to go, things like that. Every student was there working. And part of their contract, part of their expectations as being students at Word of God Bible College is that they will be regularly in attendance at Word of God Church, that they will be at every church service, every prayer meeting, and that they are going to be working at these church services in setting up the chairs and the bulletins and all the aspects of service. So these students are serving on behalf of others, edifying the entire body, but at the same time they're also seeing how to run a church. How does a church work? What do you need to do on a Sunday? What do you need to do on a service? And things like that. I put a QuickTime movie clip together with my camera, but I can't show it to you tonight because it won't work. And that's because I'm using the PowerPoint slideshow viewer that doesn't support the QuickTime movie, so I apologize for that. These are the two girls, by the way, if you're accustomed to reading the newsletters. Those are the two girls that spent last summer in Egypt and working there, giving the gospel to Muslim women and children in a very hostile environment, and they started to learn Arabic while they were there. They were already fluent in four or five other languages, but they were picking up on some Arabic while they were there. They're going back this summer as well, and we want to keep them in prayer. The girl on the left is Oksana, and you'll see lots more pictures of her. She was one of the main translators for me. And the girl on the right is named Liana, and the two of them are headed back to Egypt this summer. I'm going to say a few more things also before we're done tonight on, and if I forget, please remind me, on the responsibilities of these students. Not only in classes Monday through Friday, expected to be in church, expected to be in prayer meetings, expected to be serving, not just attending church, but serving in the church services. They've got other expectations as well as a part of their training, as a part of before they graduate in the Bible college. And if they're not performing, it's a two-year program, but it's subject to being reevaluated at that one-year point. That the school may not re-enroll them for their second year if they are not demonstrating a seriousness to the ministry of the Word of God. And I'll have some more to say about that as well. So just remind me if I don't go back into those issues. Monday morning, I got to meet the students. I actually got to meet them by name, get to know them. Of course, we taught 20 sessions over 10 days, Monday through Friday, for back-to-back weeks. So I got to know them very well in the course of this class. There are 7 students in this school, so it wasn't that hard to get to learn all of them. They all ask questions. They all are very eager students, and so they keep you on your toes. And you can tell by the questions they're asking that they're taking material you're giving them and they're relating it to things they've learned before, and they're correlating it to teaching they've previously been given. And so that was very helpful. And knowing the fact that those men were George Meisinger and Robbie Dean and Todd Kennedy and men that we know are solid men, I knew that I wasn't on shaky ground or that I could trust that what they'd been given was going to be solid material. They also helped me out by having very common names. Both of these men are named Victor. So I was very thankful we had two Victors, and I could never, Munko was the one name on the left, and I don't remember the name on the right, but just calling them both Victor was very helpful. Both of these men are married. The man on the right was very helpful because he sat right in front of me and he always plugged my laptop in every morning and unplugged it when we were done and things like that. Victor Munko on the left is a second year student. He's going to graduate here at the end of this term. And he is already the assistant pastor at Word of God Church. And doing very well, not only in his studies, but in his shepherding and his teaching. And I think as the years go by and as Jim starts to consider retirement or consider lightening his own load and so forth, I think that he plans on handing this church off to a native Ukrainian that can become the senior pastor and continue on that work there. In which case, Jim will focus entirely upon the Bible college for his remaining years in the ministry. All right, we had two Victors. These are both Sashas, two Sashas in the class. Sasha being a nickname for Alexander, and basically 90% of all Ukrainian men are named Alexander. And so the nickname Sasha is very common. It's also a common nickname for girls. I guess Alexandria or Alexandrina or whatever, but Sasha is a name for both men and women. These men here are both Sashas. The man on the left has no arms due to an electrocution accident. But he's a remarkable student, probably the sharpest of all the students. He has to take all of his examinations verbally, but he concentrates more than all the rest of them, I think, probably put together. And outstanding. He has learned how to write on a limited basis. He can write his name and other things with a pencil in his mouth, and just a neat student. He has a wonderful Bible study ministry and evangelism ministry in an orphanage, and that's part of his gospel outreach as a part of his training. Then Oleg is on the left, another married man, 3 children, 4 and under, all 3 very small, just cute little kids. And he's an excellent student. Also, he's kind of their Cliff Beverage. He's kind of their computer guy that fixes things when they go wrong. And he also is a second-year student, but he's already lined up to be the administrator for the Bible College. And next year he will assume that full-time. After after he graduates and when he's no longer a student. On the right are the last two students. They're both first-year students. They will be married in August. His name is Anthony and her name is Alla. And they're both first-year students, and so they got one more year to go. One of the Sashas is also a first-year student. All right, so those are the students, the seven students. As I say, they're in class Monday through Friday. They are expected to be in church, expected to be in prayer meetings. They're also expected to participate in an evangelism ministry, either one that they develop themselves or one that they step into that has been already existing, a previous one that maybe a student from last year or previous years has developed. And you'll see some of those ministries tonight. But they're given very practical application for evangelism, and the way they do that is by evangelism, by going into hospitals and schools and orphanages and different places and actually giving the gospel in one sense, a prison, a correction facility for hooligans. It's kind of a pre-prison juvie center where kids are in a little bit of trouble, but not yet totally in a prison kind of trouble. And so they go into that facility and give the gospel and go into hospitals, orphanages, and so forth, and do this. One of the students, I believe, has a ministry in a nursing home. So it's not all directed towards children, but they find ministries, places where the gospel can be given. And I'll have more to say about that as well. I just think it's a neat pairing of not only academic classroom work, but then very practical life experience type work in the local church and then outside of the local church in giving the gospel. These are my translators. I already mentioned Margaret there on the left, and because she translates not only in the school but also in the church. She also took me around on a sightseeing thing on a particular day. Took me to an Orthodox fair, and I got to see a lot of booths and a lot of exhibits from every monastery and Catholic Orthodox cathedral in the country, and she was very helpful in those. The two girls on the right, the one on the far right is a former student, a graduate. Oksana there on the left is not a former student, but her sister was. Her sister is Bogdana, presently a student at Schaefer Theological Seminary, and somebody else has been mentioned in previous newsletters over the years. But Oksana and Nina are the two girls there on the right. They were my tour guides for the sightseeing that we did on Wednesday of the second week that I was there, when I got to go see the catacombs and the other gruesome things that they took me to see. And you'll see some of those pictures as well. I had a lot of fun with the translators sometimes, and these were three out of the four that we used. There was another girl that we used when we went to the eye hospital. You'll see pictures of her also. Translators were great. Occasionally, I'd throw out a figure of speech that they just struggled with. And the Sunday night prayer meeting and Bible class, I used the phrase, wing it. You know, I said, you know, you don't want to be winging it. And Oksana looked at me and didn't know what winging it was. So we had a moment where I could explain it to her, and then she could put it into Russian. And then the very next morning, Monday morning, we're in class and we're teaching, and I got Margaret back again. And so I thought, I wonder if Margaret can do any better with winging it, you know. So I let it fly again that next morning in the class. And Jim Dumas was my host, and he was attending some of the classes. And he was there the Sunday night, and he was there the Sunday morning, or the Monday morning, and he just groaned. He said, oh, you're terrible. You know, he knew what I was doing, just testing these translators. But Margaret didn't know it either, so they both struck out on the phrase winging it. But they were a true blessing. The purpose for coming. And this is a lot longer list than it would have been had I come up with this list prior to going. But in the process of being there, I came to really understand the manifold wisdom of God, all the different ways that He brings these blessings around. Obviously, teaching in the Bible college was the first reason, the stated reason for going over there. I taught the poetic books of the Old Testament, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and covered those five books in 20 sessions, right? But it was survey. All right, we weren't trying to give any in-depth. We gave a survey and covered five books in 20 sessions. Anyway, blessing there. mainly we got to use the through the Bible material to a large extent. Got to expand upon the through the Bible material in class. Had it all translated into Russian before I even got there, so that was helpful. And good opportunity there. Also teaching Bible classes at the church. As I mentioned, the Sunday morning, two Wednesday nights, two Sunday nights. So a lot of teaching there. All in all, it was 30 speaking engagements in 13 days. And so that was a lot between the church, the school, the home Bible studies, the evangelism ministries, the hospitals. And even, it would have only been 29, but I got to visit with a Boy Scout troop over there, and they asked me if I could give a 10-minute talk on a scout as reverent. So I ended up doing 30 minutes on a scout as reverent and said, okay, well, that's session number 30 then in the 13 days in country. Participate in evangelism ministries throughout Kiev. And, you know, it's just like you do here. You'd get the Evangelcube out, or you get the bracelet that with the different colored beads and the different tools. You're going to see some of the same CEF material and some of the picture books that we use here. They use there to tell their Bible stories and so forth. And then a couple of others to encourage and assist Jim and Phyllis Myers. Real blessing there. Just visiting with them, fellowshipping with them, praying with them, giving them a break, time off, see, where he doesn't have to come in and do these 20 classes. You know, it seems like a lot, 30 times in 13 days. Well, you know, if I wasn't there, Jim would be doing those classes, see, and that's a lot. You know, I can do it for 2 weeks, but then I'm leaving. You know, he's doing that for two semesters a year for all these years now, and so bringing these teachers in is a real blessing. He had three people last year, two the year before, one the year before that. Robbie Dean's gone every year now for, I think, 8 years. But this year has been the most. He's going to have a total of six pastors coming from the States to spend 2 weeks there. And so he's just enjoying that very much. Grace upon grace blessings to have so many men there. Also to encourage and assist Jim Dumas, who I'd seen his name in newsletters, but I didn't exactly know who he was. And so I was glad to get over there and find out who he was. Houston native, a Texas guy, a Southwestern Bell guy that got the same retirement gig or something similar to what Wayne got here. And 30-something years with the Southwestern Bell, and they just gave him the retirement offer he couldn't refuse. So he took it and cashed it and banked it, and then went overseas and has been living over there ever since. And about 9 months a year he spends over there, comes back here for the other 3 months. In fact, that is Jim Dumas right there. I don't know if you know him or not. Yeah, he worked for training. He does all the training for Southwestern Bell, and he would teach people how to climb poles and teach people how to do phone company stuff. So now he no longer teaches phone company stuff. He teaches the Bible, and he teaches evangelism. He heads up the external ministries. Jim does everything in-house. They've kind of broken it down. They call it in-house and out-house ministries. And so Jim Myers handles all the in-house stuff, the church, the Bible college, and the English classes. Jim Dumas handles all the outhouse stuff. He handles the ministries that the students undertake, and he oversees those ministries. And if it's something that the student has developed, Jim oversees it and makes sure that it is genuine, that it is legitimate, that it is worthwhile, that it is edifying. Or if it's a pre-existing one, then he kind of assigns the students where they need to be based upon the different things involved. The Children's Cancer Hospital, for example, is a very difficult place, and it's one of the two victors that has been given that work assignment, and he's really done a wonderful job with that. A tough place to when these kids with the cancer and the things they're going through, it just breaks your heart. And Victor's doing real well with that. So anyway, Jim Dumas is in charge of those, and he oversees the various ministries. In fact, he's currently doing the Monday night one himself while one of their students has a leave of absence. So, here are the in-house and out-house ministries. The local church, as we've already seen, the Bible college, the English classes. This is, again, just a benefit to the residents of Kiev, but also an evangelism opportunity, also an outreach opportunity. And through everybody wants the English classes over there. The country's trying to orient more towards the West, trying to orient more towards free market capitalism. They want to attract American business. They want to learn the English language. And there's dozens of companies over there charging money to take English classes. Jim Myers and this group does it for free. See, free English classes. But again, the benefit is that in the process of the English class, you're going to be hearing the gospel, and you're invited to stick around for the English listening practice at the end of your class. The outhouse ministries, the various places, these are three of them. As I mentioned, there's also an orphanage, and there's a nursing home, and I'm sure I'm forgetting another one. But these are the ones that I went to in terms of during the time that I was. I didn't go to the detention center, but I went to the hospital twice and to the cancer hospital, also to a Friday night home Bible study, which I don't think I have listed there. And these are students heading these up, running these. Students that are going in, students that are making the arrangements with the administrators of the various hospitals and facilities and so forth, students that are presenting the gospel, students that are responsible for seeing these things done, and students that if they have a conflict, if they can't make it on a particular night, they make sure that they get that covered by another student. See, and so these are part of the responsibilities. Then, of course, the English classes. This is Oksana teaching the English class. Actually, I was rather embarrassed when I went to the English class because I learned something. Learned a couple things. And then after the class, when I was being introduced to a couple of the speakers there, or a couple of the students, the Ukrainians, and somebody asked how I was doing, I said I was doing good. And then Oksana said, "I'm doing well." Oh, man. In any event, she's a good teacher. After the English class comes the English listening practice, in which case we were teaching some of the stuff we've been doing recently here in 1 Corinthians on you've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God with your body, and how to determine the will of God, and things that we've been doing here lately in 1 Corinthians. That 1 Corinthians 6 passage also was the message on the Sunday morning. You've been bought with a price. As everybody was wrapped up in the crucifixion, it was Holy Week, and we had a practical application for sanctification and holiness in the aspect of having been bought with a price. The eye hospital is a lot of fun. This is Jim Dumas here, pretending to be an elephant. Sloan is the word for elephant, and it's only four letters. It's easy to pronounce, easy to remember, and he likes to play the elephant. And they did this game with these children. Sharon, what do you call this game in Awana's? Fruit basket. Okay. I'm not sure what they called it over there. It's the same game, though. They get the kids to all line up, and they say, okay, you're an elephant, you're a crocodile, you are a python. Elephant, crocodile, python. You know, and you line them all up, and everybody's either an elephant, a crocodile, or a python. And then the person who's in the middle, who's it, he just calls something out. You know, calls out elephant or whatever. And when he calls it out, then the appropriate children that have been assigned that, then they have to jump up. You know, it's a big scramble in the middle of the floor, and then get back to the seat again. And the last one back, you know, it's kind of like a linear musical chairs. The last one back that doesn't get back to the seat, well, now they're it for the next round. Anyway, these kids have a lot of fun with it. This is an eye hospital. Many of them are here for surgical procedures and other processes for their eyes. Too bad Nadia's not here. This second girl here on the left is a Nadia. In fact, both those two girls on the left are both Nadias. There were a lot of Nadias, Natalias, and Natashas, which are the same name in Russian, means hope in Russian. And this is an Oksana right here. All three of those girls were there both weeks. It's kind of a rotating group, obviously. You go back week after week after week, and sometimes you got new patients and sometimes you don't. After the games, we have the gospel message. This was the same little magic book that that man had when he came down here. Remember that Sunday night that Brian Wood used with his presentation here on that Sunday. That's the same book that they were using over there. This girl was one of our translators named Lara. She was giving them their Bible verse. This one happened to be John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. They also used Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. They had just Bible verses they would work on that way. They would get the students to learn their verses. And then students who could memorize and recite their verse were rewarded with candy. And so it was a little incentive to memorize these verses. And in terms of bribing children with candy to memorize, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Well, you know, if they've memorized it, they now know the gospel and they've got some candy to boot. So there it is. They had a lot of fun with that. They also use the Evangicube, which is, if, I don't know if you've seen it, we have it here too. It's a little way to unfold the gospel story. And in fact, I think there's even a picture of me doing it. This is the second week we went back. I probably overlapped on a lot of these pictures. If we changed clothes, you probably noticed. But there he is doing the magic book again. It's got the blank pages, and then he flips through it again. It's got pictures but no color, and then he flips it through again, and it's got colored pictures. And it's every time he flips it, you know, it's something different. And, yeah, I got to do the Evangicube there the second time when we went back. A lot more boys there that second time when we went back. Then the cancer hospital. They do this on Tuesday nights. First thing we did, we got there and we blew up a bunch of balloons. And then we handed out candy and little cards, again, for learning Bible verses. They got pieces of candy and other things here in the cancer hospital. Not only were the patients there, but this was a visitation time, so our family members, their parents, brothers and sisters, other family members were there as well. Had to wear these little goofy blue booties over our other shoes, some kind of hospital procedure. But then got to teach the story of Daniel in the lion's den, and got to use the little picture cards and change pictures, and as we went through the story and so forth. And what a delight. You know, we talked about the lion's den being a scary place, but Daniel wasn't scared because of faith and different things. And these kids could relate to that because there they are in a hospital, which could be a scary place. You know, they don't have lions, but they've got doctors, you know, and other things that could be scary. And so we used that to kind of illustrate, you know, what do you do when you're scared, and how does faith work, and does God really take care of you, and different things like that. And that, of course, led right up into the gospel and how it is that we can even have faith in God, or we can know who God is. And neat opportunity there. Friday nights is a home Bible class, and one that starts roughly at 7 o'clock, but there's no official ending time. I started to feel like maybe I was intruding. Didn't know, am I going too long? Am I offending these people? And I asked my translator and I asked the host, you know, you didn't tell me when to stop. And they said, oh, you don't have to stop, just keep going. You know, and as 11 o'clock approaches, as midnight approaches, you start to wonder, am I here too late? You know, nobody's making any move to leave, except for the lady that's going back and forth to the kitchen getting more tea and more water and things like that. But in any event, this is the Friday night home class. Grandpa here on the right. Let's see if I got this thing working. This is fun. Grandpa here on the right, for 40 years wanted nothing to do with church, hated church, because everything he saw was the Orthodox church. It was the ritual. It was the incense. It was praying to saints. It was all kinds of phoniness in the Orthodox church. He hated it. Wanted no part of it. And then on an occasion, he heard Jim Myers teaching the Bible and told his wife, he said, that's real. That's not phony. That's real. And he said, that's going to be our church. And so his wife, this lady here, was very excited and said, okay, that's our church then. And he said, and can we have something in our home? Can we teach something in our home? And so this Friday night class got started. That's Jim Dumas there next to him. Of course, I'm next to Jim. My interpreter there, Margaret, right there. This lady, Galena, hasn't missed a prayer meeting in decades. I mean, this lady is one of the most faithful prayer warriors you'd ever imagine. This lady and that man are the parents of Anthony, my student that's getting married. Different things. This woman's the mother of 10, grandmother of 28, I think, something like that. That's what I said. Wow. But in terms of hunger and positive volition, it's, you know, what do you do? You know, I told Jim Myers this after my first time, and, you know, just, he said, I know, it ain't great. It makes you want to stay, doesn't it? And I said, well, no, but it's fun to teach while you're here anyway, the positive volition that doesn't really give you a time to be over. We had a little bit of snow while I was there. On Friday and Saturday of the first week, it really wasn't all that bad, other than the fact that it was the snow hit during one of the days that my host was out of town. Jim Dumas had two trips while I was there. Jim Myers had one trip while I was there. And so I was kind of fending for myself through the snow, walking to the school about a mile or so. The story will get worse the more times I tell it. You know, pretty soon I'll be barefoot and, you know. Anyway, the walk wasn't too bad. Yeah, it wasn't uphill both ways. It was just a pleasant one-mile walk in the snow, you know. But there was no heat. I asked my host before the snow hit, when it was already getting cold enough to snow, I said, where's the thermostat? You know, just curious. No such thing, see. And we're accustomed to thermostats and controlling our temperature, you know, in a building anyway, room by room. Well, no, their heat was turned off 2 weeks prior to my getting there. And that I said, your heat in the apartment? He said, no. The heat in this building? He said, no. He said, this part of town. And section by section throughout Kiev, it takes about 2 weeks to go through the whole process, but entire neighborhoods have the heat cut off. And by the time I was there, all of Kiev was heatless. The heat was gone. They'll put the heat back in after the summer's over, towards fall and before winter hits. They'll, again, neighborhood by neighborhood, put the heat back on into the various buildings. So there was no heat. There was just, you know, he said, here's the closet and grab yourself a blanket. Well, okay. I did go one time out. I don't want to spend a lot of time on the tour, on the pictures, but this was their World War II monument dedicated to the Ukrainians that were killed fighting the Germans. This long line of tombstones there. These are all of the men, the Ukrainians now, that were awarded the highest Soviet decoration, the Hero of the Soviet Union is what it's called, the equivalent of our Congressional Medal of Honor, so to speak. And so all of the Ukrainians that had received the this award of Hero of the Soviet Union were buried here in this World War II monument. From there, we started looking at churches and found some gorgeous architecture and some very ugly religion. And that's, I guess, the way it works. So the uglier the building, maybe the more sound doctrine maybe you're dealing with. I don't know. But the more beautiful the building in terms of gold and in terms of the artistry, the paintings, the frescoes, just unbelievable. But the doctrine, the church, is thoroughly satanic, you know, demonic in its approach. Don't mind saying that. That was one that was in our bulletin a couple weeks ago. I thought we could remove it stone by stone and ship it over here and build it for our church. But a couple of these. The spires are rather characteristic of the Eastern Orthodox Church, Greek Orthodox and Eastern Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, and so forth. They all adopt that spire in their architecture. And these were all dedicated to the different saints. Saint Michael is the one that they pray to, is the protector of Kiev. The Archangel Michael in the Bible is also a saint somehow, and he's the protector for Kiev. And one of these other churches has been dedicated to the fallen soldiers of the Afghan War. And I think that's this one here that we're looking at. And this is the entrance to the Lavra Monastery that is one of the most famous landmarks in Kyiv. And you go down this great big hill towards the river, and you go down another great big hill once you're inside of this monastery and into some caves that are underneath the church. And this is extraordinary. The top side, very beautiful. The underside, creepy. I don't know if you've ever walked through catacombs before. I don't recommend it. That's the hill going down to the church where the monks are buried underneath the hill. Over 1,000 years ago, these monks decided to start living in caves. And they decided that they wanted to meditate. They wanted to get closer to God. They wanted to be not so worldly. And so they started living in caves where they could meditate and pray and not be tempted to fornicate and other things of the world. So they started living in these caves. And then people started gathering themselves to these monks living in caves because they wanted some of that holiness to rub off, and they wanted some of the grace that they were earning to rub off. And in the Orthodox and Catholic traditions, you can earn grace through works, you know, because grace is a commodity. It's the store of merit that's stashed up there in heaven. And anyway, so they started living in these caves, and people started coming to them. A few more shots on these, zoomed in on these spires and the stained glass windows up there. All of these guys are saints. They're all the monks of the Kiev of the Lavra there that became formal saints when they died. They were pronounced saints by the Orthodox Church. Supposedly because after they were buried, after a period of time, they went in to test. They put them in these, sealed them up in these places, and then they went in to check after a period of time had gone by, and their bones had not decayed. The bones hadn't decayed. They were still just as fresh as the day they died, see. And so, by virtue of not decaying, and they quote the verse that God will not allow His holy ones to undergo decay, okay, our Bible says holy one and refers to Jesus Christ, and He will not undergo decay but be raised again on the third day, all right? Their concept, though, is holy ones will not undergo decay. And so if you're holy enough, a monk, in the course of your life, then they will find that your body hasn't decayed, and so they will then proclaim you to be a saint. They will wrap you in this sarcophagus kind of thing, and then they will leave your casket there open for the people to come by and venerate. All right? And that's the mysticism of these caves here in the Lavra. So all these guys are saints to the Orthodox Church there in Kyiv. Now, the caves were creepy. And you go through these tunnels, and there's little niches on the left and the right, and these are open caskets. And it was Holy Week when I was there. As I say, this was Orthodox Easter coming up. And so the pilgrims were going in here. They were thronging in here, all right? These weren't my actual photographs. I wasn't allowed to take a camera into these caverns. Plus, it would have just been dark and packed with people as sardines. These I clipped off of a website. But these little niches where these bodies are, this is where the pilgrims were going. And every single one, of course, was a saint, so that meant, you know, cross yourself. It also meant that you could pray to these guys, because they pray to the saints for heavenly blessings. And for their grace to rub off, the grace that they worked for and earned, for their grace to rub off, you would show that you were venerating them, not worshiping them. Only God is worthy of worship, but you can venerate these saints by kissing their bones. And so there was a lot of kissing going on in these crypts. All right? Now, just in case you think I'm making this up, I went ahead and put a hyperlink on all these pictures. Now it's warning me you're following a hyperlink. Okay, that's fine. And this is the official website of the Kiev-Pechersk Lavra. If you want to go there to www.lavra.kiev.ua, you can go there. And this gives you the history of the caves. And one of these paragraphs down here talks about what a hard time they had during the communism time, where tour guides had to be a little, they had to officially espouse the atheist message, even while the pilgrims were there for the religious message. And it says the faithful people could visit the caves only within tour groups. They tried to drop behind the crowd in order to kiss the sacred relics and ask the venerable fathers for healing and intercession in front of God. This is the ritual, kissing the bones of these guys. And in particular, you would learn who they were. If you had a problem, for example, with something in particular, lust or whatever, stealing, there was a particular monk who was very good at resisting that temptation. See? And so this webpage even tells you who these monks are. And the Virgin Moses, the Hungarian here. I read a lot of these. And he was very good at resisting adultery and fornication and these thoughts. And he has a story almost like Joseph in Genesis 39. And anyway, it recommends here that you can go and kiss his bones. And yeah, Through his holy prayers, many have been delivered from fornication and impure passions. See? So you go into the crypts, you go down into these tunnels, you demonstrate that you venerate these saints. For instance, you find where Moses the Hungarian, which particular coffin it is that is his. Yeah, the Blessed Virgin Moses the Hungarian. And you find out which one is his, and you go and you venerate him by kissing his bones. And then he prays for you. He's in heaven praying for you because you kissed his bones. And because he's praying for you, and he is right there with Jesus, those prayers get answered faster. See? You see how this works? Anyway, there's a good fee, by the way. They're making some bucks for these pilgrims that are going down into this place. But whatever your problem is, there's a dead monk in here that can pray for you. All right? So, if you want to go to the website, it's there. And it's something else. These were the caves. Yep. Now, they got them wrapped up. They got them wrapped up in these costumes. But this is a monk that is not decaying according to their church. See, they've even done some studies on... let me go back to these caves. Scientists, they've started to examine... See, they equate grace with oil. That there is an oil that is being secreted by these bodies, see. And they've even measured the protein content of these, of the oil. They call it chrism, from charis, grace, and chrisma. And anyway, they're demonstrating the holiness. The more, the holier the monk was, the more oil that he's producing in, that they can measure from these cadavers. And yeah, here's the chemical test. Chrism running heads, number 26, number 9, number 4, and the levels of protein and the different aspects there. Scientists cannot explain the phenomenon of chrism running heads, but for faithful, this is evidence of God's grace. Because of the oil. Grace is oil, somehow. All right. Back to... We finished this tour and got back out in the daylight, and I had a much more relaxing day the next day when I had a chance to go visit some Boy Scouts. we got out of the crypts, we got back up, and my translator said, now they have some other museums and things here if you want to go see some more things. And I was already creepy enough at that point, and I said, no, let's go somewhere else. And so we did. The much more relaxing day was meeting some Ukrainian Boy Scouts, and we had some fun with that. They asked me to talk about a scout as reverend, so we had some fun there. They were working on a communication thing, learning how to send an email. So the laptop was a big attraction, learning how to send an email. I had dinner at one of their favorite places that serves American food called Arizona Barbecue. Did get to go to two ballets on Thursday night before I left. At the Opera House, a very historic place. The Germans bombed it to smithereens, but they rebuilt it after World War II. And then took a picture of them smiling before their final exam, because they were not smiling after the final exam on wisdom literature. And that's that. All right. Not my intent to mock the Orthodox Church, but to pray for these guys that are enslaved in a religion that is laughable on its face. I mean, it's ludicrous to think that I can kiss somebody's bones and he's going to pray for me. But there are millions enslaved by this. See, which is why, like, you know, the grandpa I pointed out on Friday night, when he got Bible teaching, real Bible teaching, he responded. He said, this is truth. This isn't the phoniness of religion. This is truth. And I just find it such a burden and a priority that we pray for true Bible teaching and the equipping of these men to go out and do service, because this is the country they live in. This is the culture that's enslaved by this orthodox religion. And the training of these men, a solid, dispensational, conservative, church-age believer, priest, pastor, teachers, is just vitally important. We'll have more to say on the actual training methodology on different things. Probably Friday when we meet at noon with some of the men, we put a little ministry committee meeting together, and with the deacons at our next deacons meeting. I think there's a lot of things we can incorporate. But we just want to pray for these men. And one of them, Ulan, one of their graduates, as we say, is the one now that's missing in Kyrgyzstan. And we just don't know. You know, these guys have the opportunity to go places we could never go, like being able to go into Belarus, for example, going into Kazakhstan, going into Kyrgyzstan. A lot of times these students are coming from these stans, and they're going to Ukraine for their education. Well, that's what Ulan did. He went to Kiev for school, and then he got saved while he was there. And then he got training while he was there. And then he went back and he started a church. So this is really an opportunity to equip men, local men, native men, men that know the language and know the culture, to be able to minister to their own people. And I just find that to be a huge priority. All right. Any questions tonight? Anything I didn't cover? Jerry? Oh, yeah. Student responsibility. In class, not only do they have the classes such as the one I taught, but in the early morning they have a prayer meeting every morning. They have a Greek class every morning. I tried to get up early enough to attend a Greek class. Didn't make it. but they have a prayer meeting each morning, a Greek class. On Monday mornings, they have a student-led Bible class that they rotate. Each student takes a week to do a Bible study and a Bible class for their peers. The church responsibilities, the ministry responsibilities. And they are acknowledged as an approved institution by the government of Ukraine, like other colleges or universities in the country. I asked, I said, what kind of tuition are these guys paying? And you know what he told me? We pay them. We pay them. And they're learning that a minister is worthy of his hire, that they are students, yes, but they're also ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they do minister the gospel in their outreach ministries, and that's worthy of recompense and support. They minister in the local church, and that's worthy of support. And when they graduate and go forth into the different churches that have been planted and the different Bible studies that have been started, they continue to be supported as missionaries of Word of God Church. So they are being paid. Now, they're not being paid a lot, but they are being paid a nominal amount. The single kids that live at home don't need a lot, but the men with families, they get paid more. And in terms of their apartments, Jim Myers pays their apartments. And so the married guys with the kids, their wives are working to help feed their families and so forth, but Jim's paying their apartments, see. We just don't understand that when we're supporting a missionary, we're supporting a missionary plus the 8 missionaries he's supporting, plus the 7 students he's teaching, plus the 3 girls, the translators in the office are being paid, and in the things there. So it's extraordinary in the priorities that says, you know, the world would say, well, we're a school, students should be paying tuition, see. But they're ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and those who proclaim the gospel are to earn their living by the gospel. So they're learning some grace lessons with respect to that as well. And it's also a big motivation in terms of Jim Myers and Jim Dumas to say, look, you're getting paid to do this. See, you're expected to be in class. You're expected to be in church. You're expected to be in prayer meeting. You're expected to be doing these ministries. You're getting paid to do these things. And which is why, you know, when a year comes around, if you're not serious about being a minister of Jesus Christ, if you're not serious about teaching the Word of God, if you're just there for whatever, then you'll be removed. You will not be a second year student after the first year evaluation. So it's different than any training I've ever seen. It just shocked me when I said, well, what kind of tuition are these students paying? And he just said, well, no, actually, we're paying them. Wow. All right, what other questions? We have some other questions here. Yes, Linty. Some, mainly the Americans, mainly getting evicted, mainly, but that's not necessarily because they're religious. It's mainly because somebody else came along who could pay more rent. So they got evicted for some of those reasons. There's some, the Orthodox group really doesn't like the non-Orthodox Christians. And they got rejected. They ministered in an AIDS hospital for a number of years. And the Orthodox Church came in and had them removed. They're no longer a part of that ministry, even though the Orthodox Church doesn't carry it on or keep what they were doing going. They just didn't want the non-Orthodox Christians doing it, so they used their influence to keep it from happening. So that's kind of the opposition they get there. Yeah. What else? Kathy? Well, the expenses is one big reason why they don't, and then another reason is that they're not given visas to leave the country. The Ukrainian government recognizes that most Ukrainians that leave don't come back, and so they're very stingy on granting visas to come to leave the country. And again, pricey. There is one. Bogdana is currently at Schaefer, but that's the only one, and it's just a lot more financially difficult to live here than it is to live there. Oh, John?
Are most of the people over there the atheists, Orthodox?
You know, they were enforced atheist under the communism era for 80 years. The ones that tried to keep faith going during the communism years tended to be Orthodox just because that was the traditional church. Kiev became Christian when Vladimir became a Christian, and he forced everybody in Kievan Rus to go get baptized in the Dnieper River, and he baptized all of Kiev and said, now you're Christians. So the Ukrainian Orthodox Church became the traditional church of their people. But yeah, for the most part, they are atheist. They are godless. The non-Christian society is very obvious by virtue of the clothes that they almost wear in public. You know, you think there's some scandalous clothing in our country, it's nothing, see. And that's their culture. So mainly atheists. Gary? They're not. They do have a beginning Greek class that Nina is teaching. One of the areas that they want to improve on is the Hebrew and Greek instruction. And there's a possibility that Ron, I think Heidemann, may go over there and become a full-time instructor. That's not so certain. Ron was widowed last year, and he's praying about it. He may decide to do that in his retirement and as a widower. But right now they don't have the Hebrew and Greek structure the way they'd like to have it. That's one of their requests. Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Right. Oh yeah. Jim pays $200 a month for his apartment, Jim Dumas, and it's that's way up. He said it used to be like $80, and now prices are just through the roof, and he's paying $200 a month for this place. And he's got a bit of a larger apartment there. Than Jim deliberately got a two-bedroom apartment, even though he's a single man, so he keeps one room designated for visitors, pastors, and guys coming in. But yeah, it's not. I bought a whole bunch of groceries at that grocery store. It cost me $10. Back here, it would have been about $50 for the equivalent amount of groceries. So it's not as expensive to live over there. But Kathy?
Uh-huh.
Pretty open, but Some of it, Jim thinks, is more cultural than anything else. They'll talk to an American just because they're interested in an American and American culture. You'd see signs for Orlando Bloom and this movie coming out and all kinds of other things. They like American products and American music and American culture. So they'll talk to an American, but as far as the gospel, it's hard to say. They've noticed a big slowdown from when they first got there in 96 versus now. They wonder, have they mined the positive volition, or is there anybody left? That kind of thing. The ones that were hungry for it were jumping at it the first chance they got. As soon as communism was gone, as soon as the missionaries came in, they were grabbing at it. And so that was kind of the easy work. Now they're going into the harder work of evangelizing. Yes, sir. It's limited based on what they can fund, what they can finance for paying their students their stipend and their rent. They're seven now is the lowest they've been, although they're very pleased with the, and I don't mind saying this, they're the best students they've ever had, and just academically and in terms of zeal for witnessing. But it's also one of the smaller classes they've had. The seven students, four of them are second year, about to graduate. There's only three first-year students that are coming back next year. But they want to expand up to 20 students for next year. They want to have 20 freshmen in the first-year class. And they've got the funds to support that right now. Oh, yes, ma'am. It depends on the student. The single ones, the married ones, it's no set amount, but it's based on needs and based on where they're at. All right, well, let's close the prayer then and appreciate the questions. Father, we do thank you for this time and thank you for your word. Father, we do pray for this ministry in particular. Father, we have our own brand of paganism that we live in here in the midst of the United States of America, but they've got their own form of it there in this Orthodox church with the rituals and the aspect of the religion and the religion that professes to be the Christian religion. And yet, Father, it has these practices that are amazing. Father, we do lift up Jim and Phyllis Myers and Jim Dumas and pray for your blessing of their ministry and for these students. Father, the ones that are still students, the ones that have graduated and gone on, Father, Vasily and Sasha and the other Sasha and Ulan and men in Belarus about to start up in Lviv, in Odessa, and in Balto, in Kyrgyzstan. And Father, especially Ulan, we don't know where he is or his wife or his children, the other men of that church. Father, just pray that you continue to sustain the positive volition in that part of the world. And what an exciting thing to think, Father, how Ukraine may, all the media is focused on how Ukraine may become an economic power, and they might, but Father, Ukraine may also become a client nation as a Christian nation sending out missionaries. And Father, what an even greater blessing. And to be a part of that is just humbling. We thank you that we have the privilege to support such men. They are worthy of such support. And thank you for the grace that allows us to do so. We just thank you and we praise you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.